Morning. Welcome. It's good to see everybody here. I hope you'll keep your Bibles out. If you don't have it out, take it out and follow along with me. Make certain that all that is said is in accordance to God's Word. And if you find it to be so, I hope that you will apply it to your lives, that we might better serve God. It is the first Sunday of the month, therefore we continue our theme for the year, which is to walk by faith. And this year what we have done is we have focused our attention each month on one particular verse in regards to faith. And so we have gone through several verses at this point. We've looked beginning with Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:1, defining faith. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing. James 2:24, we're saved, justified not by faith alone. In addition, we've seen James 1, verse 6, he must ask in faith without any doubtings. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And then last month, we looked at he who believes in him will not be disappointed. And the passage I want to look at this morning is based on Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. And it is unfortunate that we're going to just focus on faith because there's so much in this section. When it talks about the armor of God, and great lessons can be taught about the armor of God, great series of lessons can be taught about the armor of God, and we're only going to talk about one thing. And I think you have a pretty good idea as to which one it is, right? It's the shield of faith from verse 16. Faith is very, very important. The shield of faith sticks out among an important list. When I read this list, there are two particular items that really stick out to me. Do you see which ones they are? I mean, all of them are important, don't get me wrong. Everything that God says is important, and every bit of armor is important, and I don't want to say one bit's more important than the other, but I read and I find emphasis put on two. That's because they're treated just a tad bit differently. One of them is Ephesians 6 and verse 17, where it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The others don't get explanations, do they? And so he just stops and he gives us an explanation, which makes that one stick out a little bit to me. But then what you have is in verse 16, in addition to all, a statement of emphasis, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so here, amongst all this armor, all of which is very important, he tells us, emphasis, in addition to all, or as one translation said this morning, above all, the shield of faith. And then, in addition to that, gives us an explanation. The faith, this shield of faith, is crucial to our success. It is not a surprise that faith is so emphasized and so important. We've already talked about that. This whole year, we started off Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's no surprise that faith is an emphasis in this list of armor that we need to have. Faith is crucial even in the midst of a list of crucial things. It is crucial in that it helps us to withstand tests. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We will be tested and our faith will be tested. And one of the keys to our success is our faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 17 through 19 is in regards to Abraham. And Abraham's being tested, and it's a big one. This is a big test. This is when God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to offer up your son, your only son, the one whom you love. I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice to me. You know what that was a test of? It was a test of his faith, and the victory came through his faith. It says, by faith, Abraham did it. It was his faith that granted him victory. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, the passage that we looked at a few months ago. What is it that overcomes this world and all the challenges that are in it? Faith is the victory. He who believes in Jesus gets the victory. And so faith not only will it allow us to get through the test, but it allows us to be victorious in them. It is crucial in regards to resisting Satan. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9, resist him, firm in your faith, and it takes away our fear. That doesn't mean that with that, if we have faith, we won't have nervousness or we won't sweat. But it means we won't cower. We won't freeze. We won't fail. So in Hebrews chapter 11, in this great chapter of faith, on multiple occasions, it points out this concept of a lack of fear. In Hebrews 11, verse 23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Their faith caused them not to fear the king, but to fear the king. It got them focused on the right thing. In verse 27, "By faith he," that's now Moses, "left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen." And it's not to say that Moses didn't have any nervousness, but he didn't fear the king as much as he feared the king. He kept his fear in the right place, and it was faith that helped him to do that. Faith is the shield. If you're curious about that particular word, it gives us an idea as to what kind of shield we're talking about. There have been a lot of different shields throughout history. This particular one is a long one. In fact, the root word for this is door. So think of like taking a door and sticking it in front of you. That's basically the concept. It was a piece of wood that had leather put on top of it so that if a fiery dart was aimed at you, you had all of your body protected behind it, and the fiery dart would not catch the wood on fire because of the leather, and so they were protected. And so when we talk about the shield of faith, we're talking about total protection. This is an important lesson. This is a relevant lesson. I want you to get the concept. It's not a complicated lesson. Just recently, I was meeting with three of our young ladies who were recently baptized. And it was a good opportunity for us to get together. We talked about the questions that we have and opportunity for them to ask questions and get answers. And there was one question asked. We didn't have time to get to the answer. But I bet some of you could relate to it. How do we keep going when people keep producing evidence, and strong evidence, it seems, that we're wrong? I mean, you think about our young people today going to school, and the scientists are not telling you that there's a God. They're not telling you that's a possibility. They're telling you you're a fool for believing it. It's ridiculous to believe in creation. We are mocked for our belief in the Bible. How do you keep believing? How do you keep going on when there's all of these accusations and all of this seeming evidence that mounts up and is thrown in our face saying, "You're just insane, you're crazy, you're not intelligent"? That's a great question. And the answer, though not perhaps all that satisfying, but the answer is right here. You put up your shield, and it is the shield of faith. And we're not in some new circumstance, in some new time in which people are now challenging our faith. That's not new. And it's not like Satan suddenly, thousands of years after creation, said, "Ding, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go after their faith." He's always known it was our shield. And from the very beginning, it's what he's been attacking with accusations, with seeming evidence. There's always been attacks on our faith. I want you to consider a few within scriptures. And we start off at the beginning. We start in the Garden of Eden. And you have, God has created Adam and Eve. He's put them in the garden. He's given them everything. He's made their life wonderful. He's given them work. They don't die. And then he says, "Okay, you can do anything. You can have anything. You just can't touch this one tree." So of course, Satan's coming, and he's going to go after that one tree. Go eat from that one tree. And so when Satan comes with Eve in Genesis chapter 3, he attacks God. And thus he's attacking her. We know that she knew she wasn't supposed to eat because he asked and she told him. In verse 2, it says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" So Satan can't get her with ignorance. She already knows the truth. So what's Satan going to do? He goes after the faith. After faith. So the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." There's two attacks that are right there. One is on the honesty of God. Is he telling you the truth? He says you're going to die. You're not going to die. The other one is on the character of God. He's holding this back from you. He knows that you're going to become like him. All this becomes now is a question of faith. Do you believe the serpent or do you believe God? That's it. And had Eve just taken up the shield of faith and said, "I believe God. I touch it, I die." What a different world we'd live in. If only she'd had the shield of faith. Now, where was that faith? Was it just completely blind faith? No, she could have looked and she could have said, "God created everything. God gave me life. I have reason to believe in God. Now, you serpent, you talking snake, why should I believe you?" And there's not really a good reason for it. He's right there. He's very good at tempting. He's very good at being enticing. But you know what? It's just a choice. Do you believe God or do you believe Satan? Put up that shield and you win. I believe God. And he can't win because you already know the truth. Later on, it's not Satan, but it's Rabshakeh. You guys all remember Rabshakeh, right? Everybody just dreamed about naming their kids Rabshakeh. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 19 through 35, Rabshakeh is a spokesman for the Assyrian army. And the Assyrians knock out the northern kingdom of Israel. And they come down and they're getting ready to attack. And in their minds, they're going to absolutely destroy Jerusalem. But it could be a long, drawn-out battle, they're thinking. And so they want it to be easy. They want the people to cower. They want the people to surrender, to quit. Let's just end this war and we won't have the bloodshed. And so what they do is they come and they attack the faith of the people. They attack their confidence, their defense. And there are several things that he says, but let's just pick up in verse 19. Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what is this confidence that you have? You say, but they are only empty words, 'I have counsel and strength for the war.' Now on whom do you rely that you have rebelled against me? Now behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who rely on him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and to Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem.' Now therefore, come, make a bargain with me, my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How can you repulse the official of the least of my master's servant and rely on the Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Get this next one. Have I now come up without the Lord's approval against the place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" So here's his attack on the faith. You think you're following God? No, I'm the one who's following God. Anybody hear that argument before? We have a whole world of religions that say, "No, you guys aren't the right religion. This is the right religion." It's all over the place. And that's the argument right here. You're not the ones who are right. We're the ones who are right. He goes then and he speaks to the people. He says, "All right, I'm done with talking to you. I want to talk to the people themselves." And they'd ask them not to. He says, "No, I'm going to." And picking up in verse 29, he says, "Thus says the king, 'Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, Make your peace with me, and come out to me, and eat each of his vine, and each of his fig tree, and drink each of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and a new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die." Now here he goes. "But do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their land from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? All right, so here's what he's saying. All right, the Assyrian, the army, came up against this people. They said, we trust in our gods, we conquered them. We went to this people. They said, we trust in our gods, we conquered them. We went to this people. They said, we trust in our gods and we conquered them. This people, this people, this people, this people, this people. Your God's no different. And is there not evidence there? We conquer gods. Surrender now. It's a question of faith. Plenty of evidence now has been submitted. You can't beat us. You are wrong. We conquer gods. But pick up that shield of faith. That shield of faith that reminds you, that says, there are all these other gods, but they're not real gods. And when we go through and we look at our own history, we see that every single time we stood for God, no army could stand against us, no matter how large, no matter how big and how small we were. Whether it was 300 men with Gideon and thousands of men on the other side, they can't stand against our God. You can bring up all this other evidence, but here it is. We have our own evidence that we have seen and we know, and it is our faith. And so we bring up that shield and we say, I will not listen because I believe God. It is the shield of faith. It's always been attacked, and they always produce evidence, but you look back and you say, look at the other evidence. Look at what else there is. And then you have Satan with Job, and Satan comes to God, and it's not a direct one attack on Job, but it's pretty obvious nonetheless. Satan comes to God and he says, here's the thing, Job only serves you because it's worth it. When it's not worth it, he'll quit. And so that's really what the argument is. And so here Job, he gets up one day. I don't think there was any hint that this was coming. I don't think he got up that day and there was this low, heavy mist and there was a quietness to the world and an ominous, and you just knew it was the calm before the storm. I don't think there was anything like that. He's just sitting there one day and then boom, 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 servant after servant after servant says, you've just lost everything and all your family. It's all gone. And now this is an attack on Job. The arrows are in the air, aim for his heart, aim for his soul, saying, it's not worth it to follow God. And Job is beaten and down on the ground and crushed. And do you know what he does then? He lifts up his shield of faith and believes God is still God. And so what it says in Job, the response in Job chapter 1, says, then Job rose and tore his arms, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. What did he just do? He just got behind a shield of faith. He says, I still believe in God. He is still God. He gives, he takes away, he has the right, he's God. Shield up, Satan loses. And though it was challenging for Job, and though he had a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow, he brought up that shield of faith and he wins. And then we get to the New Testament and we're told, don't be surprised at this. It's going to happen, and it's going to be the same thing for us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, as Peter is warning the people about this coming judgment, he doesn't just warn us about the coming judgment, he warns us about the people who are going to attack our faith in the coming judgment. And so he says, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. Now, here's the thing. He's not saying, watch out, people are going to believe a different thing. He's saying, watch out, people are going to believe a different thing and not be satisfied with that. They're coming after you. They're going to mock you, and they're going to challenge you, and they're going to say, where is the evidence? Where is the proof? Where is the promise? And here's the evidence they're going to provide. A genealogy. The world has existed all of my life. I never saw it end. All of my parents' life, they never saw it end. All of my grandparents' life, they never saw it end. All of my great-grandparents' life, they never saw it end. All of my great-great-grandparents' life, and they can go on and on and on, and they can do it even more now because we can look thousands of years and say the world doesn't come to an end. And they've got the evidence, and they're attacking our faith. And he says, but they're missing some evidence, aren't they? They're missing something. He says, what they're missing is they forget that in the past, the world was destroyed. It was a long time ago, but the world was destroyed. It was destroyed with the flood. Forget that, and you won't see what's coming next. Believe that, and you'll know what's coming next. It's coming. And so we pulled up our shield of faith that says, God will keep His promise, and it offers solutions for the evidence that we've been given. Oh, it's been so long, and it's been so long, and long, and long, and long, and it just hasn't happened. God doesn't keep His promises. Ah! But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. Our faith is that God's different. He sees things differently. And so time may be this huge issue for us, and it's been so long, God has forgotten. God doesn't forget. And it's been so long, but it's not so long for God. And this is our shield of faith that says, it's not what you think, and the evidence you have isn't what you think. God thinks differently. And then we look at it again, and we look at our God, and we say, but here's the thing about God. He has His reason for why it's taking so long. And so in verse 9, the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. This is a building of our faith, our shield, so that we can get behind it and say, mock all you want, bring all the evidence you want, you're still wrong, I still believe. Boom. Fire away. And you can fire all those arrows that you want, and you cannot hit that person who says, but I still believe. It is our shield of faith that is crucial to survive the arrows of doubt. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, Paul warns Timothy, watch out for those knowers. This is how he ends this letter to Timothy. He says, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. This is a spiritual knowledge. They were arguing that they knew what you didn't know, and so you were wrong and they were right. And of all the ironies, that word knowledge is science. Of all the ironies. It's talking about a spiritual science in this case. We know what you don't know, so you're wrong and we're right. But it's so interesting that it relates now to this physical science today, where you have people saying, we know what you don't know, we're wrong and you're right. And God says, watch out of the knowers, because they don't really know. And so we have a shield of faith that says, I choose to believe God instead of a talking serpent. I choose to believe God instead of the talking head of the Assyrians. I choose to believe God instead of the people that say God is wrong. It comes down to a choice. It comes down to a shield. It comes down to faith. And that can be challenging, I understand. But you must understand this. The evidence isn't always evidence. It isn't always what it seems to be. Surely you can understand this with Adam and Eve. If you had a time machine and you went and you had the time on there and you said, okay, I want to go to day 8. I'm going to go to day 8. So the world has been around for 8 days. That means man has been around for 3 days, right? Created on the 6th, 7th, 8th. So this is the 3rd day. So you show up in the Garden of Eden. You get out and enjoy the most unpolluted air there's ever been. And there's Adam and Eve. And the first thing you do is shield your eyes because they're naked. But then you look at them again and you notice something. They don't look remotely 3 days old. What's a 3 day old look like? There is absolute evidence of time on them. I don't know, maybe Adam has a beard. Beards take time. He definitely has hair. What if he had a belly button? I have no idea if Adam had a belly button or not. But if somebody looked and said, look, Adam has a belly button, he was born. Does that mean he was born? We could look for scars, we could look for all sorts of things, but no matter what he has, it doesn't change the fact that God said 3 days ago he didn't exist, I created him. Now you can just list evidence after evidence after evidence says you cannot get this tall in 3 days, you cannot get hair, that much hair in this amount of time. You can have all that evidence, but it ultimately comes down to this. The evidence is wrong because God's saying something else, and he's the one who is truth, he's the one who was there, and you have a choice. Do you believe him or not? And so we have this shield of faith that we put down and say, for all these reasons, I believe God and not your evidence, because it doesn't mean what you think it means. I believe the one who was there, and no scientists were there. They talk about evolution and they haven't seen it. And it doesn't fit. But they are firmly believing in it, and they throw arrows at us, but we have to put up this wall of faith that says, but I believe the God of all gods who created all things and told me how he did it. Now, where's that faith come from? What is your faith based on? Now, it's not a blind faith. I know the world would look at it and say, but it blinds you to evidence. No, it makes me understand the evidence. I may not understand all of it, but I get the big picture of it, the entirety of it. And it's not blind faith, but rather it's faith based on evidence. It's maybe your faith is based on natural evidence. Maybe you're one of those who looks at the argument of design or the ontological argument or the argument of emotions or all these different various arguments. And you say, I look and I think about the world, I observe the world, and I understand there must be a God. And through this evidence, you build a confidence in God, and then people attack it, but you say, but the evidence shows me there's a God. Boom. Do all you want, I'm not falling for it. Or maybe you're one of those who just focuses on scriptural evidence. We don't have to be scientists. We don't have to be observers of the world. We don't have to be tremendously intelligent, fortunately. We can follow the scriptural evidence. We can follow the arguments for the resurrection of Jesus, or perhaps we'll follow the arguments of prophecy or the arguments that we talked about some time ago about the accuracy of the scriptures, and it gives us reason to trust it and to believe it. And so we're told, no, it's not true, but we look at all the evidence and say, but it is true. And so I do believe it. And so we put up the shield of faith. Whatever your source, however it is you come to this faith, it must be first your faith. It's got to be your shield. At some point, you got to put aside your parents' shield. You can't hide behind that forever. You've got to have your shield, and you've got to be convinced of it. And let me say one more thing about that. You've got to have it with you. You have to have it with you at all times. It's interesting in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 when he describes the shield of faith. He explains it in this way. He says, with it we will be able to quench the arrows, that the flaming arrows of the evil one. Not the sword, the arrows. Arrows were their version of a sniper. Somebody would hit you from far away. And it wasn't like you could walk through the forest, you could go be out in a circumstance, and you could see somebody who takes a bow, and they start pulling it back, and they aim at you, and you say, oh, hold on, and you grab your shield of faith and go like this. That's not how it works. The person could fire over trees, and you would never see them. They could fire from one side of a wall, over the wall towards you in a great cloud of arrows. And you'd never see them. So you always have to have the shield with you. You never know when the attack's coming. You might be in your car listening to the radio. You might be in your school. You might be at work. You might be at the church. You might be in the comfort of your home. You probably will be watching television or watching the internet or something along those lines. You can expect there's going to be an attack at all times. Have your faith always with you, always reminding yourself who you believe and why. Something about Satan. I'll admit this is a personal faith that I have, personal opinion. You can tell me whether you agree with it or not. I suspect that Satan's a pretty good archer. I can't show you the scriptures on that, but I have a sneaky suspicion that he's not just aiming wildly. He knows exactly how to hit your heart. He knows how to hit your mind. He knows how to kill your soul. Do not take the chance that he's not paying attention to you, and that this one day he's just not going to observe you. Always have your shield. Always have it with you. And always have it up. And if you do, he can't win. Because all he has is those arrows. And your shield's bigger and stronger and better. So we need faith. We need to keep it with us always. And we need to rely on it. Because in the armor, this important armor, one is emphasized above the others. Above all, and with explanation, shield of faith. Now, if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to consider where your faith ought to be. Should you believe the people that have not been from the beginning, that boldly tell you what has been from the beginning? Or should you believe the God who created all things? There is reason to believe the Bible, and if you do not know what it is, we would be happy to talk to you about it. Happy to help you build your faith. But if you already believe, well, then this invitation's for you. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, won't you come forward and confess that faith? Won't you repent of your sins and follow Him? Won't you be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, put up your faith once more. Remember, there is a judgment that is coming. Get ready for it now before it's too late. We encourage you to come forward, confess your sins. He will forgive you. That's a promise, and He does not lie. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?